Demystifying Irish Sessions with Shannon Heaton today on Celt Feather Music and Travel. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Mark Gunn, and as a Celtic singer and auto harper, I've never really felt comfortable going to Irish sessions. I have trouble saying that. I had a couple dirty looks when I first got into Irish music. It's kind of biased me against them, but I love Irish music, so I was excited to watch a video by Shannon Heaton where she provides a sort of how-to guide for Irish sessions, and it was very inspiring. Shannon Heaton hosts the Irish Music Stories podcast, and she is an Irish musician. She hosted an episode of the Irish and Celtic Music podcast last June, and I wanted to find out more about her. So we had a great chat a couple months back, and I'm really excited about sharing this episode of the podcast with you. But first, I want to let you know my Bandcamp store now offers the Celt Feather Classics USB. This album features all of my music from 1995 through 2009. You'll get over 10 albums, including all of my current Cat CDs, plus a bunch of exclusive EPs and podcasts, all for just $50. And this is a way too generous deal. Follow the link to my Bandcamp store for details. Coffee with the Celt Feather is a new live streaming show I'm hosting on my Facebook fan page. I go live on Monday morning around 9 a.m. and we will chat and have fun while we sing along together with your song requests. Come join me. The more you share and tip, the more I will play. Yes, I have a virtual tip jar for you to give a few bucks there. The show is off right now because of the holidays. I'm not going to do it anymore until January. So come back in January. Come join me. Finally, I want to share some Christmas music with you. You may know I host the Celtic Christmas podcast at CelticChristmasPodcast.com, but you might not be aware of my Spotify playlists. My two favorites right now are Christmas drinking songs and fun Christmas songs for kids and families. That's my one that I listen to probably the most because I have my kids and the cats are fighting. Speaking of Spotify, this show will be available on Spotify at the beginning of 2018. So you will be able to listen directly through your Spotify account. All right, on to the interview with Shannon Heaton. But first, we're going to play some music. This is Fatty's Casey's and Reel of Rio by Matt and Shannon Heaton from their album Blue Skies Above. And then we'll jump straight into the interview.
Thank you.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. How's your morning going?
It's going well. So far I've been, taking care of the girls, getting them off to schools and daycares and all that stuff. You know, so it's quite a challenge.
Plural girl. Girls.
Yeah, girls. Yeah, I have a one that's seven, one that's two.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have a 7-year-old boy.
Oh, wow.
And that's already a project enough. Adding to that, starting all over again, that's amazing.
Yeah, yes, it's doing much with kids is a challenge.
Yeah.
So tell me about yourself. Where'd you get your start? Well, actually, I think I want what I would what I wanted to see about starting with is your history. I've seen your name for a number of years in the Irish community, but I really never it wasn't until Irish Music Stories came along that I really found, more about you and your music. And in the time that's happened since, I've gotten this little bits and pieces about, you're American, totally American with what Irish ancestry, is that right?
Well, yeah, I mean, my great grandpa's from Ireland, but I'm an American, born
Right,
here,
right.
lots of
And
generations.
what I find especially interesting, you had a number of video episodes where you talked about basically coming into trad Irish community and sessions and all that stuff. So I guess what I want to get a start with is how you got your start with Irish traditional music, how you got started playing music in general. So, and we'll go from there and then build our way up to the sessions and such.
Great. Well, it's awfully sweet that you, Mark, would have learned a bit about me from this podcast, Irish Music Stories. In fact, it's my attempt to tell other people's stories. So, kind of sweet that then you would also learn a bit about me. But I mean, I guess for me, the story of Irish music all along the way has been one of learning about this music, loving the music. But I think I love the music because it's played in this social. Really lovely community way. So that was always the pull for me. And so all along, for me getting into Irish music, it's kind of just been about learning about this whole other aspect that transcends just music, right? Well, when I was 7 years old, I lived in Nsukka, Nigeria. What does that have to do with Irish music? Mark looks at me. I had a neighbor from Belgium who played the tin whistle, and she taught me a bunch of Irish tunes. And that tied in neatly, very neatly, with the fact that my family, really an Irish American family, always celebrated St. Patrick's Day, and we always sang these Irish American ballads. And so I knew these ballads, and I knew these tunes from my Belgian neighbor. And then years later, I was living in Chicago, and my neighbor happened to be John Williams, who plays the accordion. A great, wonderful recording artist that your listeners may know. He started out with the band Solace and did some great music for Road to Perdition, a film with Paul Newman. But John was my neighbor, and John would teach me all these Irish tunes. And then I would teach him a little bit of flute, which I'd been learning in the band all along, the school band. And before long, he was pulling me out to the sessions.
The John Williams.
There are three big John
Okay.
Williamses, right? There's
Okay.
the film composer, and
Right.
there's the classical guitar player, and then there's our John Williams, the Irish
But
music
that's who
world's.
I was thinking of. I mean, I know there's the others, but I was thinking of
Yeah, he's a
Oh.
great musician. He's well known, maybe to some of your listeners, with his early work with the band Solace, and
Right.
he had great solo recordings as well. But John became a real friend and really a teacher. He would show me all these tunes, and he was working on the flute, so I would show him flute technique in exchange.
Oh,
And
wow.
yeah, he's to this day, I really consider him one of my biggest teachers and friends in Irish music.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. So that got you started playing it. Did you find a band or did you start off with the sessions? How did,
Sessions all the way. Sessions all the way. I mean, I started off by learning tunes in John's kitchen until one day he said, "Okay, it's time to take this out. We're going to go to the session on Sunday. You're going to come in and you're going to play these tunes." And so I did. And he introduced me to everybody. And Brendan and Siobhan McKinney, who play flute, they were at that session, and they gave me an LP of Matt Molloy's, and they said, here, learn these tunes. And so I did, and then I came back the next week, I learned these tunes. But it was years of playing in sessions. And when I say playing in sessions, sometimes that meant that I was sitting there listening to other people and just kind of taking it in and playing the tunes that I knew and recording some tunes that I didn't know and just trying to learn from everybody. So it was years of doing that before it ever felt appropriate or necessary for me to kind of perform this music.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And when did you start performing?
I guess Matt and I started performing music in the 90s in Chicago.
You met your husband at one of the sessions or where?
I met him through Northwestern University, sort of. Okay. I needed a guitar player for a wedding gig. I mean, I was playing, you know, gigs, just all sorts of types of music at gigs. And I was looking for a guitar player. And I got three names of people at Northwestern, three names of guitar students.
Uh-huh.
And he was the second on the list, but he was the first one who was home. Yeah.
Lucky for you.
Yeah. And he had an interest in Irish music, too. Matt really wasn't playing all that much Irish music, but he liked it. And I was really into it, so I kind of pulled him in. And he really loved tango music, and he pulled me into that, which was really cool. I loved learning about that as well.
Oh, sorry, I just have to know now, have you fused Irish music with tangos? Because that would be awesome, I'm just saying.
It would be awesome. Yeah, we never really fused it. It would be amazing to fuse the dances, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tango step dancing?
Yeah. Well, maybe not quite tango step dancing, but I'm thinking like tango rhythm with Irish melodies coming through. That'd be kind of cool.
Nice.
Think about it.
Well, the scene, though, I mean, the people who do tango dancing at those milongas, you know, they're like really late night social scenes. And it's the same like the Kaylees and the Sessions. It's usually a late night, very social scene.
Yeah, that's cool. So y'all started learning together, and then what happened?
Well, I have to admit that the Irish side of things did take over.
Right.
I think mostly because of where we were. You know, in Chicago, there was just such a wonderful Irish music scene. And right in our town where we were living in Evanston, and then we moved down to Chicago, and we just met so many musicians in town. It really became a big part of our social life. You know, it was our friend set, even outside of the music, was all the Irish musicians. And again, that's really what eventually pulled us to Boston. And it's what really has anchored us here. I mean, a lot of our dearest friends, we met through playing Irish music. And we get together and we do still play music with all those people. But sometimes when we get together, there are no instruments out. You know, it's just everybody hanging out. But there's kind of, I don't know, there's like this shared backstory of playing all the music together that connects us, I think.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you got into Boston, and did you start touring out from there, or what happened there?
Well, we had started touring with a band called Shukra back when we were living in Chicago. And Shukra was this, initially when we started it, it was a quartet. It was
when was that?
I guess we would have started it in the mid to late 90s with a great singer called Kat Eggleston and a fiddle player called Andrew Bird. Andrew Bird went on to kind of be like an indie pop, kind of a indie folk dude. But he played Irish fiddle in our band. And we had a great time. And then when we moved to Boulder, Colorado for a while, we met another singer out there, Beth Leachman. Great singer. And so we were a trio, basically, with her. And then we hooked up later with a fiddle player called Sam Amidon, who remains a dear friend of ours, and we play a lot with him. Again, Sam does a lot of indie folk stuff, but he's just a great Irish fiddle player as well and a dear friend. So, Shukra, we kept it going. We were in Boulder, Colorado for just a few years and then moved out to Boston, but we kept it going with Beth for a few years. And then it got a little more cumbersome to keep a band going with one member in Colorado and two in Boston. And then Sam was just sort of occasionally around. He was in Brattleboro, Vermont. But
When did that band stop? When did the Shukra stop? Because I remember hearing about Shukra, but I'm trying to figure out when that was.
I don't know. Maybe 2004 or 5. We probably did a few gigs after that. I mean, you know, any opportunity to see each other and to play together still to this day is a treat. But yeah, I guess we stopped really actively playing together around maybe 2004, 2005. And that's when Matt and I as a duo just really stepped it up and just learned that we could, I think from playing with the trio and then eventually the quartet, I think we had these bigger sound ideas that then when we put it together with the duo, even though it's just the two of us, we tried to find ways to bring in those other parts with just two. So, you know, the whole time we're doing something, I'm playing or I'm singing or I'm playing the accordion, you know, I'm playing the flute, that's my main instrument, or I'm playing the whistle or I'm singing or I'm playing the accordion the whole time. Matt's playing the guitar or the bouzouki or he's singing the whole time. So we kind of try to, I don't know if the word is fill up the space, because sometimes with a duo, it's nice that you can have a lot of space as well. But just trying to bring in those bigger arranging concepts that we had learned from playing with bigger groups to just our duo.
Okay, cool. And what has happened since then? How's it come?
Well, to
how many albums have you put together together?
Matt and I have maybe 5 or 6 albums together. And to this day, the duo is just our musical mainstay. It's home. And each of us does a lot of playing with a lot of other musicians. I've done a lot of playing with Maeve Gilchrist, who's a great harp player, and with Keith Murphy, who's a wonderful guitar player and singer, and many other groups. And that's wonderful. It's wonderful on its own. But also, it does kind of feed the duo, and I think the same for Matt.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Let's see. Why don't we talk about your the Irish music stories? What inspired that podcast?
Well, I love Irish music. I think it's great. And there's always more to learn about it for me. And from my peers, I'm learning stuff. From my students, I'm learning stuff. With my time in my duo on stage with Matt, I'm learning stuff. From audience members, I learn stuff. I hear people telling me these stories that inspire me. And I guess I just got kind of curious about why so many other people are into it as well, because people play it all around the globe. And so I just started digging. I started asking people, why do so many people play this music? What do you think it's about? And I started these conversations with some of my students and with some of my peers. And then people started to say, oh, you should talk to so-and-so. You should talk to so-and-so. And I just had the idea, why not pull this all together and share these stories with people? So that's how it started.
Fantastic. And you have how many episodes in?
I'm working on number 9.
Number 9. And your response, has it, you are getting some good download numbers and response from people?
Yeah. I mean, it's fun to watch the downloads grow, but it's also pretty amazing how people just directly get in touch. You know, they have thoughts and everybody has a totally different idea about what this music and maybe this show means to them. So I love that. I think that's neat. What about you? Do you find that you get a lot of outreach, like people reaching out to you through your podcast, Mark?
Oh, definitely. I try to encourage it, which helps a lot, but it's fantastic to hear. And it's pretty incredible when you start getting recognized, you know, in places because of the podcast. And no one has actually, I got recognized in many times in Ireland and various places around the world where people said, are you Mark Gunn?
Aw, that's nice.
Pretty much because of the podcast. So
that's nice.
It's pretty incredible seeing the response and people loving it for that reason. So,
I mean, it's ironic too to me because the whole idea of this was like me to tell stories, other people's stories. So for it to be a window into meeting me, I mean, I guess is inevitable and it's sort of lovely. But it's also not necessary. I feel like I hope they're also getting in touch with some of the people that I've featured on the show.
Well, that's always the big thing. That's one of the great things about, you know, like for my podcast is the ability to help people who don't get heard be heard, because, you know, I love Thistle and Shamrock, but there's a lot of bands I've never heard that have ever made it to Thistle and Shamrock because they have a format that doesn't allow that, basically. You know, whereas the people that I get to feature are people who can't get picked up by the local Celtic stations or programs or these big ones too, because it's a style of music that's not quite right, you know, for their show.
Yeah, it's not fine. Mainstream.
Mm-hmm. So there's something that I can offer to help people both the traditional and the not so traditional, which I love. I love that.
Yeah.
So
cool.
It's fun. But yeah, the working with like, you know, seeing this, your show do so, which, again, I was really impressed by, you know, production level. It sounds like a fantastic NPR program. I'm expecting Bob Boylan to come on and say, start talking. But because you did, the production is spectacular. And,
thanks.
Your storytelling is outstanding, so.
Well, thanks. I have to admit, we would have to give my husband Matt some credit with that, because he has to listen to every, first draft of my script where I say, you know, this is cool, but there's no story here, or this part gets boring. So,
do you compose your stories? How do you create them?
Well, I guess I'm getting more of a formula, but really it's... how do I make the show? I have an idea that I want to investigate. I talk to a bunch of people that I think could have something to say about that idea. Inevitably, people go on tangents, and sometimes something that I thought the interview was going to be about, it doesn't end up being about that, and it's awesome. And so I take the story in a totally different direction because of that. Or maybe I hold on to that cool tangent for a future story. And then I just sort of see maybe four or five voices speaking on one topic, how they all intersected and maybe how they differed. And I try to be the tour guide and weave those stories together.
Fantastic. It's really cool. I've tried doing what you've done, and not that good of a writer.
So. Well, I do a lot. I will admit, I do a lot of script writing in the bathtub.
Nice.
And I do a lot of drafts. And I like writing in general, but writing and writing a script for a podcast are two different things. So I find I really have to kind of talk them out loud and feel them in my body, so that it's really something that I believe and that I would say in a conversational way. So it's not like scripted, it's more... You know.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. That's I do the same thing when I'm writing the show notes for my episodes, because it helps.
Yeah, it makes sense, and it shows, because you're very conversational.
Yeah, that's one step one doing a podcast.
Yeah.
So how long have you had a YouTube channel?
Well, I've had this tune of the month. Initially just audio series, I guess you call it a podcast. And then I turn it into a video somewhere along the way. I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I started doing video because I made it for my students, for my private students who come to me regularly, and just for students that I meet, at workshops around the country. You know, I only get a chance maybe to work with them once, but it's a great way to offer them something to follow up with every month. So really it was just something that I was making for my students, and a couple of other people all around the world just started to find it. And I had a number of requests for a video component. So I just do them at the same time. You know, it's just all live, and I have the audio running and the video as well, just in case it's helpful for people to see, you know, flute fingers. Yeah. And, you know, it's not something that I can put a lot of production time into at this point. But it will be fun down the road to really up the game on that one, I guess. Although there are some great online offerings for people learning Irish music that are very professionally done. So, you know, maybe I can just be sort of the chill indie offering for people for now. And that's been really nice. That's been another really nice way to connect with people all around the world. You know, I have a lot of flute players in Germany, and in some in Italy, who contact me monthly, you know, and they ask about the tunes. And it's become increasingly too, I'm finding, with the YouTube component, that's a nice forum for people to post questions. which I totally did not anticipate. You know, it sort of, I was really delivering them as a one-way street, I thought. Here's some info, do what you want with it. But people are finding it and they're posting questions and there's discussion on the YouTube channel. So I love that as well.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's fantastic. I found your YouTube channel from after you contacted me again and started watching a few of the videos. And then I guess what really hit me was when you started talking a little bit also about the Irish music culture too, again, but going back to the sessions, which I find fascinating on many levels. I mean, I love Irish sessions. I don't play many, but, because I'm mostly a singer, but I still love them and I love the music, obviously. So I would love your thoughts about, someone who wanted to get started playing in an Irish session. What would you be your, top suggestions for someone doing that?
That's a good question. Irish sessions are fascinating, and I think hopefully they look like fun to people who don't know a lot about them. And they also might look kind of mysterious to people who don't know a lot about them. And so I think, you know, anytime that you're nervous about something, that I'm nervous about something, if I can kind of demystify it a little bit, that can help. And so a great way to demystify a session is to just, you know, ideally you have one in a town close to you, is to just go a few times, go without the instrument or go without the idea of trying to sing a song, and just, you know, sit at the bar or sit at a table close to the musicians and, you know, just listen and maybe introduce yourself at a conversationally appropriate moment,
yeah.
You know, and just kind of getting to know people and getting to observe it and take it all in without the pressure of trying to participate in the beginning, I think can be a bit empowering. I mean, if you know what you're getting into, it's a little less of this scary thing. And if you know people and if they know that, you know, you seem to enjoy this and you seem to be investing some time into it and you're supportive of it, I mean, I'd be pretty keen to support you if you were coming every week to this session where I sat in and, oh, hey, it's Mark again. Yeah. So, Mark, you said last time around, you mentioned that you sing some songs. Maybe next time bring the guitar and sing a few songs or, you know, whatever. So that's, I think, the number one way is to just kind of go to sessions, observe them, see what you can notice yourself about the etiquette. You know, you can learn a lot about the etiquette by going, there are lots of videos online. There's lots of stuff you can read online about proper etiquette of a session. But I think you probably can suss most of that out on your own by just going and observing yourself and introducing yourself. You know, and then beyond that, you've got a crowd who can kind of help induct you into the scene anyway. Any questions that you have, then you have these friends and you can ask them. A great way to learn tunes to play in a session is to ask your new friends, hey, you know, I'd love to sit in and play sometime. Do you mind if I record a few tunes that you play so I can learn them? And then all down the road, I could play them with you. That's always a good approach. And, you know, as for singing, there are Irish sessions that have maybe a lot of singing. There are Irish sessions that have a lot of tune playing. There's not always the great combination of the two. And in fact, my friend Rory Makeham and I were talking about this, about just how disparate that can be. So if you're somebody who knows songs that have choruses, that have, you know, fun, kind of engaging things where you can have a lot of people singing along and being jolly, I mean, I think there's a time and a place for that in a tune session. And, you know, if you're somebody who likes to play a few tunes and you go to a singing session, I think there's a time and a place to offer a couple of instrumental tunes.
It's always nice to mix them both.
Yeah, it is. And it would be probably more organic and feel less weird to do that if already you were friendly and knew people's names.
True. Very true.
You know, just to come in and say, hey, I have this idea. Like, okay, who are you?
Very cool. You travel a lot? Do you tour a lot?
Yes. Matt and I have toured on 4 continents. We have performed music in many, many different festivals and venues of all sizes, from somebody's living room to a huge concert hall to a huge festival. We have performed all around Thailand. We have performed all around Germany and Switzerland and Holland and Ireland and We have played on a cruise ship several times. We've played music all around the Caribbean and Alaska and lots of different places all around Canada and the United States, of course. And it's been a wild ride, for sure. you know, the music part is easy. The traveling part is richly rewarding and challenging. And yeah, it's been great. And we have a 7-year-old kid, and he's been along to a lot of the gigs. And he's a pretty good traveler, and that's pretty great. Now that he's in school, we're trying to be a little bit more selective about when we travel. So trying to keep it more on the summer time and the school holiday and the weekends. Not too hard to do that. You know, with the school, really, they have a lot of time off. They have a lot of weekends and weeks off. So, yeah, we're managing to kind of balance that.
Do you have any favorite places either that you've been to, like, say, in Ireland, or perhaps that you've played in Ireland, or for that matter, anywhere around the world, that any spectacular moments or memories that you have from your travels?
Well, Matt and I had our musical start in County Clare in Ennis. That was where we used to go. We would stay for 3 months of every winter. We would stay at a friend's house in Clare Castle, which is right outside of Ennis. And we would walk into Ennis every night, and we would play in the sessions. And we were given the greatest welcome by the musicians there. So many people really took us under their wing and taught us tunes and invited us along to the sessions and made us feel very welcome. And it was tough. I mean, I remember working really hard to learn those tunes and try to figure out how it all worked. But it was a very important time in my life. And we would go back and go back. And there was one night that our friends were doing a CD launch. The Cayley Bandits is the group. And they were doing a CD launch at Brandon's in Ennis. That's a bar. And they asked if we would play a couple of numbers as the warm-up band. And I would say that was one of the most memorable times that we've performed in Ireland. It was just like this room full of friends who'd known us from the beginning when we really did not know very much, seeing us, you know, do this where we knew a little bit more. and in hindsight, you know, we probably weren't very good back then either, and we still have a lot to learn. But I remember that being a very moving night for me. And you know, years later, as I've gone back to Clare to visit everybody, you know, people will still say, wow, welcome back. Welcome. How long are you home? You know, and I'm not Irish. I'm not from Clare. I've never pretended to be so. But for them, you know, they've really extended that welcome, that home away from home to us. So that's a really important place for me. And then also, I love Galway City. And yeah. Whenever we've stayed in Galway, we stayed in our friend's house in Crockwell, which is about a 25-minute drive away from, it's near Loughrea, if anybody knows Galway. But I love that place. And in fact, Matt and I were there on September 11th, 2001, and the parish priest knew that we were there, and he came over immediately to make sure that our families were okay and to offer us support. I thought it was really kind. And that night, we went into Galway City to play tunes. I mean, what else were we going to do? We just felt so forlorn and, you know, alone. And just going in and playing in this session at the Crane Bar in Galway City and getting to be in the company of other musicians, that was just so nurturing and so healing, you know, just on a personal level. But it was just a show of support for America, too. Galway showed such tremendous support that whole week. They had a huge house and garden show that's a big part of the Galway economy every year, which they canceled completely out of respect, which I thought was, yeah, very moving.
If you were going to recommend, what place would you recommend someone to go see?
Well, you know, Ennis is a great town for music. There's always good music. And if you stop in at Cruz's Pub, you could ask what music is on
that
week.
That Shannon sent you.
Okay. And Clare FM is the radio station right there in town. Uh-huh. And they have lovely trad music shows. And again, sort of the lines are open there with the DJs to, you know, log on to the Facebook page as they're playing music and ask, hey, what sessions are on this week? And they're very forthcoming with information and show a real welcome.
last thing, you sent some music to me, so I thought I might play some of that. I might kick off the show with one of them, the tracks. Can you tell me a little bit about the tracks and the albums from which they came?
Right. So you started off with a set of tunes there. The second tune in the set is called The Reel of Rio, and it's a composition by the great Sean Ryan, a fiddle player with a celebrated following. And we played that set of tunes on our album called Blue Skies Above, and that was me and Matt playing with our friend Patty League on drums. And I remember recording that set of tunes with Patty. We kind of didn't really have a plan, and we all just looked at each other in this one moment, and he kind of kicked it into high gear. And I've always remembered that one time of playing that with Patty. Whenever I play The Reel of Rio, I kind of hear Patty playing in the back of my head.
That's awesome. And the song?
So this song is called Mantle of Green, and it's one of the great Napoleonic ballads. So there's a whole bunch of songs that were written about Napoleon and the Napoleonic Wars, because Irish people basically sided with Napoleon, because I guess essentially because he was against the British. But also these songs really speak about loss and oppression, and they're beautiful songs. And this is one of the most famous ones. It's called The Mantle of Green. And we recorded it with our friend Mike Block, who's a great cello player, and he plays with Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road Ensemble.
And what album is that from? Same album?
That's from our album called Tell You in Earnest, which is a collection of dialogue ballads, so songs featuring conversations.
Cool. All right. Final thoughts, and any final thoughts, and also where can people find you online?
Well, I love the podcast format, you know, that it's free and available and totally accessible to people, not only as a listening thing, but then they can kind of engage in the community of other listeners of that podcast and, you know, get in touch with the host, ask questions. I love that. I love that you've got this podcast going, Mark. And I've really enjoyed my foray into making Irish music stories. It's been a wonderful project for me to kind of explore what this music means to me and what it means to a lot of my peers and people that I'm just meeting for the first time. But in a broader sense, it's become this surprisingly wonderful way to connect with people all around the world who are listening.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Yeah, I love it.
That's awesome. Actually, I do have one more question before we get to the URLs, which is, if you wanted everyone listening to hear one CD by whoever, what album would it be?
Oh, no.
You have one chance to give someone... you're going to give this as a gift to the listeners here.
Well, I don't
after
think
all we've talked about.
After all we've talked about. Well, Mark, I love instrumental music very much. It means so much to me. And I also love the singing. And there's no record that combines them both... perfectly. A lot of them do, but I'm going to have to give you a combo. I'm going to have to give you the greatest singing album that I can think of in this moment. It would be a different answer on a different day. And I'm going to give you the greatest tunes album that I can think of in this moment. So Dick Gaukin's Handful of Earth.
Oh, beautiful album.
Dick Gaukin is one of the finest singers and interpreters of traditional songs. He makes them feel completely new and completely earnest, like as if he is coming up with and saying every word, the way he plays around with the melody, and then the way that he accompanies himself in a way that is completely another human from his singing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm moved every time that I hear every single song from Handful of Earth.
Yeah.
That would be a desert island disc for me.
Awesome.
And it's a classic. It's definitely. And it still sounds fresh. His old songs sound new, and the newer songs that he recorded sound like they're hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
So that would be my desert island disc. There is a newer album that I would also just say touches my heart so deeply that Queeveen O'Reilly and Mick O'Brien made. It's just fiddle and pipes. Two people. No fancy arrangements and no guitars and no drums and no singing.
Mm-hmm.
Fiddle and pipes, but I think it's still so accessible and so groovy. It's called Kitty Lie Over. That's the name of a tune, Kitty, K-I-T-T-Y,
That's the name of the album
over.
As well?
Mm-hmm. That's the name of the album, and their names are Mick O'Brien on pipes and Queeveen O'Reilly on fiddle. It's a very special album.
Okay, cool. Excellent. And where can people find you online?
So the podcast is irishmusicstories.org.
Okay.
And they can find more about me at shannonheatonmusic.com.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much, Shannon. I appreciate you talking. And thanks. Hopefully we can get all this recordings done, well done and mixed together here. But yeah. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to sharing this with listeners and everyone. And thank you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for doing it, Mark.
You bet. My pleasure.
Walking one morning in June to view the fair fields and the meadows in bloom, I spied a young damsel. She appeared like a queen, her costly robes and her mantle of green. I said, pretty fair maid, will you come with me? We'll both join in wedlock, married with like a queen, your costly robes and your mantle of green. She answered me, young man, you must be excused. I'll wed with no one I can but refuse. Through the green woods I'll wander, shun all men's views, since a man that I love fell at famed Waterloo.
Was Mantle of Green from their album Tell You in Earnest. I hope you enjoyed this interview, and if you did, then please support Shannon Heaton. Subscribe to her podcast, listen, share it with your friends, buy a CD or some swag or something. Just send some money her way. She's an awesome lady and deserves your kind support. And you can support my music and travels for as little as $1 per month when you join the Gunrunners Club and become a patron of the podcast. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to the podcast and my mailing list at keltfather.com. Thanks so much for listening. Sláinte.